Hey everyone, welcome to the Way Too Frequently Asked Questions podcast. I'm Matt Barbieri from WIS, and I'm here to answer a question that shows up at my doorstep. Usually goes something like, hey, dude, I got to ask you, like, what's the deal with Delaware? Why is everything Delaware? And it's an interesting question. It's because it's multifaceted. And so I would say that there's legal things, there's accounting related issues, there's cost of doing business. And so there's a few different things, but the way that I understand it is the backbone of the Delaware being the selection of choice for the state of organization is because of its friendliness to doing business and organizing a business. And thus it attracted a whole lot of business back in time. And the fact that because it was the chosen locale to organize, it's also the place where a lot of cases have been litigated. And so one of the things getting into a company that people think about is, well, what happens if I get into trouble? What happens if I go to court and I got to actually figure this out? Are they going to be friendly to the company, friendly to the investor? You know, what type of estate, which way is it leaning? And so there's a bit of comfort in that there's been so many companies formed there and so much litigation that's taken place that there's a level of comfort in knowing the outcome of a case even before it occurs. And so a higher likelihood of settlement, or at least knowledge as to, you know, what we're on the hook for. So to put it another way, if you organize in Tennessee and you're then operating in Tennessee and a lawsuit is raised, there's a bit of uncertainty whether or not that case has been heard in Tennessee before. And so there's usually not a tremendous amount of understanding as to the way that it's going to settle. So that's the way it's been posed to me by attorneys when I ask the question, why Delaware? For the accounting side, what I could speak to is one thing is that we can organize in Delaware very easily. It's an online system and you know you can have it done in an hour. But secondarily, once we do that, we don't peg ourselves into any filing requirement for income taxes on a go-forward basis. And so something that I see pretty regularly is that it's actually incorrect. A lot of companies will organize in Delaware, but they'll actually be domiciled in New York or somewhere else, meaning they're doing business in New York. And when I get a hold of their stuff, they're still filing tax returns, income tax returns in Delaware. And the reality with that is it's incorrect. You don't need to file in Delaware if you're organized there. You only need to file in Delaware if you actually have nexus there, which would mean enough business activity to file a return there. So that's with the filing, and that's a little bit of the why. Now, something I would definitely want to mention is the what I've seen wrong with the Delaware filing. And so as I mentioned, you don't need to file an income tax return in Delaware unless you have nexus there. The thing you do need to do is file a franchise tax return in Delaware annually. And so what that does is it you go in and you enter the amount of shares that you have authorized and the number of shares that you have issued, and you're going to pay in the early days a very small amount of tax based on those numbers. And so the concern that I've run into, or the problem that other companies have run into, is that there's a question you've got to answer when you're organizing, which is the number of shares that you're authorizing, as well as the number of shares that you're going to issue. And so you do have to work with somebody that knows what they're doing and put just a little bit of thought behind this, because that number shouldn't be chosen just out of thin air. And you don't just say, oh, we're going to create a million shares and then that's going to let me issue a couple and we'll have some in the background to issue to, you know, for stock options or for other new investors. And that's a bad way to do it, because the tax that you have to pay as an early stage company on the franchise level should be very low. It should be somewhere between, say, $175 and, you know, $1,500, depending on the number of shares that you have out there. The problem comes in when you don't have any guidance and you look at another company, you go, okay, well, they got 10 million shares authorized. That seems like the number every company uses. We're gonna authorize 10 million shares. And you start by granting 100 shares to each of the founders. Say there's two founders. You know, you've got arguably the remaining 9.9 million plus shares authorized but unissued. And when you go to fill out your annual report, there's two methods that you have to do to pay the tax. So there's the authorized shares method, and then there's the assumed par value capital method. And what companies run into is when you have only 200 shares issued and you've got some actual business activity going on in the company, when you operate and run the par value capital method, I've seen companies run into a situation where they've got, you know, say $100,000 in cash and literally owe $50,000 of tax because there is no way for them to get around the assumed par value capital method. And so it's something that you just want to be aware of when you're setting the company up at the outset. There's usually not a whole lot you can do wrong, but you just want to always check with somebody that does know what they're doing to make sure you don't fall into one of those traps and get hit, unfortunately, as this company did, with a bill that equals half of the cash balance that you got. So I hope that addresses a bit on the topic of Delaware and why Delaware. Of course, if you want more information about the topic or anything else that you're curious about, feel free to reach out to me at mbarbieri, B-A-R-B-I-E-R-I, @wist.com, and we could chat about it. As always, thanks for listening.